Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Okay, let's dive in. Today, we're taking a really close look at a specific piece of children's media, Mission Monkeys. The Pumpkin Parade puzzle. It's quite a focused one.
Mm-hmm. A short story, but packed with interesting stuff.
Exactly. And for you listening, this isn't just about enjoying a kid's story. Our goal, really, is to dissect it. Look at how the narrative is built.
Right. How the characters, the puzzles, how they all work together.
Yeah, how they embed these, like, four key learning moments into one short adventure. It's kind of a neat example of educational design, and we want to see how they pulled it off.
Well, the setup is remarkably efficient. You're dropped right into Harvest Hollow during its annual pumpkin parade, and these aren't just any pumpkins.
No, they roll themselves. Magically.
Uh-huh. They're supposed to spell out messages. So right away, you've got this magical system, high stakes, and, well, a clear sign something's broken.
And the problem isn't subtle, is it? It's complete chaos. The message is just jumbled letters. H-P-A-E Talagabnisk.
Total scramble. Which, you know, immediately presents a puzzle not just for the characters, but for the kids reading along, too.
Good point. And then we meet the team designed to fix it.
The Mission Monkeys. Mm. And their roles are laid out very clearly. You have Mila. She's the word expert, the puzzle solver.
Then Milo, the speedy one. Maybe a bit impulsive.
Mia, she's the logical thinker, sees the patterns. And then there's Mick.
Mick. The silly one, right? Like snacks, but sometimes just accidentally gets it right.
Exactly. And this upfront introduction of their skills is very deliberate. It signals what kind of thinking will be needed.
So Mayor Chipmunk calls them in. The parade is, and I quote, enchanted and out of order.
Hey, yeah, that confirms it, right? This isn't just a story. It's framed as a cognitive task, an emergency that needs specific thinking skills.
And the solution path is also structured. They have to solve four puzzles in sequence.
Yeah, four pumpkins, four riddles, four letters to fix. It's teaching sequencing right alongside the problem solving.
It really underlines the idea that you often need to solve things step by step.
Absolutely. It's like cognitive scaffolding. You start with one piece, build on it. Each step relies on the last one.
Okay, so let's look at that first step, puzzle number one. This one's from Mila, the word expert.
Right, and it targets a pretty complex skill for young kids. Unscrambling letters.
That sounds tough. T-G-I-V-N-S-A-K-H. That's a lot to rearrange.
It is, but they manage the difficulty. They don't just throw the letters out there. There's a clue.
The riddle inside the pumpkin helps narrow it down.
Exactly. The riddle is, I'm thankful and sweet. I come after Halloween. Spell the word that fits this scene.
Okay, so that gives context. Thankful after Halloween. It guides the thinking.
Precisely. It reduces the cognitive load. So Mila, using her word skills and the clues, figures it out.
Thanksgiving.
Correct. The pumpkins shimmer. They roll into place. First part of the message fixed. The foundation is set. We're making meaningful words here.
Okay. First layer sorted. Now, this is interesting. They go from that complex word puzzle.
Unscrambling a nine-letter word. Yeah.
To something that seems, well, almost too simple for puzzle number two.
It does seem like a big jump down in difficulty, doesn't it? But that's likely intentional. It's a technique called interleaving.
Interleaving. Explain that.
You switch task types. After that big verbal effort, they shift to a basic rote memory task, the alphabet maybe, to reinforce different pathways, keep things fresh.
And they use Mick, the funny one, for this.
Yeah, which is perfect for illustrating a specific point. The puzzle is just, which letter comes after E?
Okay, seems straightforward.
But Mick blurts out B for banana.
Of course. Always thinking about snacks.
Right. But it's a great teaching moment. It shows a failure of what psychologists call inhibitory control. He can't suppress the unrelated thought banana.
So the mistake is funny, but it also highlights the right answer when it comes.
Exactly. It makes the correction more memorable. Mia, the logical one, calmly says,
yes.
F. And because it solves Mick's funny mistake, the lesson about alphabetical order probably sticks better.
Okay, that makes sense. So from words to simple sequence, where next?
Back up the complexity ladder a bit. Now it's Mia's turn, and we're moving into pattern recognition, puzzle number three.
So not just recalling facts, but figuring out a rule.
Precisely. Abstract reasoning. The challenge is a number sequence. Find the pattern. 2, 4, 8.
Okay, so you need to see the relationship between the numbers.
And Mia, being the logical one, nails it. She sees it's...
Skip counting by twos.
Yep, skip counting by twos. So the missing number is 6. She touches pumpkin 6. Puzzle solved.
I like that progression. Word decoding, then basic sequence, now numerical patterns. It feels very structured.
It's very clean, isn't it? Each puzzle builds a different cognitive muscle.
So that brings us to the last one. Puzzle 4, Milo's moment. He's the racer, right? Fast, sometimes goes the wrong way.
That's him, speed and impulsivity.
But his puzzle hits opposites. It's the opposite of up. That seems really basic, especially for the final puzzle.
That's a really sharp observation. Why give the simplest knowledge task to the fast, impulsive character at the climax?
Yeah, shouldn't he have like a maze puzzle or something spatial?
You'd think so, maybe. But I think the simplicity is the key here. It's not really testing his knowledge of opposites.
It's a testing, then.
His executive function. Can he slow down? Can he access that basic known fact instead of just acting on impulse?
Ah, so it's less about knowing the answer down and more about him controlling himself enough to say it.
Exactly. The focus shifts to how he gets the answer, and the story shows him struggle for a second. He hesitates, blurts out sideways, which is irrelevant.
Right, that impulsive guess.
Before finally engaging that basic knowledge, no wait. Down!
And that little moment of struggle validates kids who also fight impulse control. It makes the simple answer feel earned.
Precisely. And when he gets it, the final row of pumpkins lights up, they roll into place.
And the full message is clear. Happy Thanksgiving.
Success! All the steps were needed, completed in order.
And the celebration seems designed to reinforce the learning, too.
Definitely. It's multisensory. You've got the crowd cheering, confetti, but also that detail about pumpkin pie-scented bubbles.
Huh, pumpkin pie bubbles. That's memorable.
It is. And Mayor Chipmunk gives them a ribbon made of pumpkin vines. It's symbolic recognition tied into the sensory experience. It helps cement the memory, connects the abstract lessons to positive feelings.
And Mecca gets the last word, doesn't he?
Of course. I just followed the pie scent.
Which kind of brings it back to motivation. Even the easily distracted one is driven by, well, reward.
It suggests everyone has their own drivers, right?
Yeah.
So if we recap the lessons for, you know, the adult listener looking at the structure.
Yeah, what are the core takeaways here?
You've got 4 distinct learning modules clearly delivered.
Mila tackled complex verbal skills on scrambling.
Mick and Mia handled sequence the alphabet and that inhibitory control piece.
Right. 3 was Mia again, with abstract numerical pattern skip counting.
And 4, Milo, demonstrating applying basic knowledge under pressure, managing that impulse.
It's really efficient. Each character's strength was necessary. Exactly. No single monkey could have done it alone. It validates different kinds of learners, different skill sets. The logical kid, the wordy kid, even the kid who learns through making funny mistakes.
So the structure really supports the learning objectives. Clear progression, reinforcement.
Yes, the scaffolding, the interleaving of tasks, the multi-sensory rewards. It's all there. It shows how intentional design in a narrative can make education effective and, frankly, fun.
Which brings us back to Mick and the fun element. The story definitely leans into the silliness, the laughter. Mick is rewarded just as much as the others.
He is, despite or maybe because of his slightly chaotic nature.
So maybe a final thought for you to consider. Why does injecting that kind of silliness, the snack obsessions, the accidental brilliance, why does that often seem to make the core lessons about logic and sequence stick better?
Yeah, what is it about joy, about that lighthearted chaos that actually helps with memory retention? How does it validate the process of learning, not just getting the right answer?
Something to think about. How does fun actually fuel the learning engine?